Rabtupeth Hamishi in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the fifth chapter of the laws of the foundations of the Torah. In most standard Rambams, it will be on Hei Amud Beis. In this chapter, the Rambam discusses the mitzvah of sanctifying the name of God and the prohibition of desecrating the name of God, not to desecrate Hashem's name. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. All of the house of Israel is commanded to sanctify this great name. Shneimar, as it says, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I shall be sanctified in the midst of the children of Israel. U'muzharan, and there's a commandment, a prohibition, shelo l'chalalo, not to desecrate that name. Shneimar, as it says, V'lo s'chalalo shem kotshi, do not desecrate my holy name. Teitzad, how do we define the sanctity and the desecration? If a non-Jew stands up and coerces a Jew to transgress on any of the mitzvahs of the Torah, or if he doesn't transgress that mitzvah, he'll kill him. So the law is, he should transgress rather than be killed. As it says, the mitzvahs, concerning the mitzvahs, a person should do the mitzvahs in order to live. From which we learn that he should live and not die by doing the mitzvah. If he dies rather than transgresses, he's responsible for his own death, because he was supposed to save his life rather than die in order not to break the commandment. But the Rambam continues in paragraph Beis, B'med, Varma Murim, when does this apply? B'shar mitzvahs, by other commandments. Chutz, except Nevodus Kochavim, from idolatry, V'gilei Arayos, and from sexual immorality, V'shvichas Damim, and from murder, the spilling of blood. Shalosh Averus Eilu, but those three sins, in Yomolo Avor Alach Mehenot Tehareg, if he should be told, or if the non-Jew tells him, transgress on one of these three or die, Yaharog Valyava, he should die rather than transgress. Vedvar Mamure, and when does the distinction that we made before between the other mitzvahs and these three apply? If the non-Jew is asking you to break the mitzvahs for his own benefit, let's say he's forcing the Jew to build the house, his house, on Shabbos. He wants his house built, and he's forcing the Jew to build it for him, even though it's Shabbos. Or lavashalot tavshilo, to cook him his food. Or he forces a woman to have relations with her. So he's doing that for his own benefit. And same with anything else. Avalim niskaven lavir ala mitzvahs bavad. If his sole intention is to cause him to transgress the mitzvah, he doesn't want anything done on Shabbos that he needs. He wants to force the Jew just to break the mitzvah for the sake of breaking it. That's why he's telling him to work on Shabbos. Now there's a distinction. If it's in private, there aren't 10 Jews there, Yaver Val Yaharog, he should transgress rather than be killed. If he's forcing him to transgress in the presence of 10 Jews, Yaharog Val Yavar, Yehareg Val Yavar, he should be killed rather than transgress. Even if his intention was only to make him transgress one of the other mitzvahs. Because the obligation to sanctify the name of Hashem by other mitzvahs applies in public, when the issue is not the thing that the non-Jew wants for himself, but the specific breaking of the mitzvah. Paragraph Gimel. All of the aforementioned applies when it's not a time of religious persecution. During this time of persecution, which the Rambam defines. Let's say an evil king, as for example Nebuchadnezzar and his colleagues, should arise. And they decree against the Jewish people to nullify their religion or to nullify a specific mitzvah. Then Yehareg Val Yavar Afilo Alachas Mishal Mitzvahs Benenes B'doch Asar Benenes Beno Lebein Avdei Kochavim. Then he should transgress, he should die rather than transgress even any of the mitzvahs, whether he is being forced in the presence of 10 Jews, or whether he's being forced only in the presence of the non-Jews. You don't have to have 10 Jews there. You would still have to give up your life. Paragraph Dale, Kom Yishneme Vol Yavar Vol Yaharei Gvenerag Vol Ava Reza Maschai Ben Afsho. Wherever it says you should transgress and not be killed, and you allowed yourself to be killed and not transgress, you're liable for your own death. Wherever it says he should die rather than transgress, and he does die rather than transgress, he has sanctified the name of God. If it was in the presence of 10 Jews, then he has sanctified the name of God publicly. Like some of the great people of the past, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who refused to worship idols, Rabbi Akiva, who refused to stop the teaching of the Torah when the government decreed that it be banned. These are the martyrs killed by the government. There's nobody higher than them. Concerning them it says, for your sake we were killed all day. We were reckoned like sheep to be slaughtered. Concerning them it says, gather together my righteous ones, who make the covenant with me at the sacrifice, because they're willing to die. Wherever it says he should be killed rather than transgress, and he did transgress and not get killed, then he is desecrating the name of God. If it was in the presence of 10 Jews, he has desecrated the name of Hashem publicly. He's nullified the powers of commandment, which is to sanctify the name of God. And he's transgressed the negative commandment, which is the desecration of the name of God. Nevertheless, even though he transgressed, since it was by coercion, in Malkin also, we do not flog him. And we certainly don't put him to death by the court. Even if he murdered by coercion. So even though he shouldn't have done it, he should have died, but we don't punish him either. Why? We do not give flogging or death except to someone who willingly violates with witnesses and with warning. It says concerning he who gives over his children to the idol Molech, it says, I will put my face in that man. The tradition tells us, Hahu, that man teaches us that, not coerced, not by accident, not by mistake. There is no punishment under those circumstances. Now, that's talking about the Moloch, which is idolatry. If idolatry, which is the strictest of all things, and if you serve it through coercion, you are not liable to be cut off. Then Tzach Lomim is based, and it goes without saying that you do not get put to death by the court. Kavachon L'shal Mitzvah Mosh V'Torah goes without saying concerning the other mitzvahs that are mentioned in the Torah. Ubarayos, concerning sexual immorality, Ha'omer, it says, L'nar Los Asadavar, to the young woman you should do nothing. It's referring to a betrothed woman who was forcibly raped by a man. He is put to death because that's adultery. But the Torah explicitly says nothing should be done to her because she was forced. If you have an opportunity to run away from under the control of the evil king, you won't have to break the Torah. And you do not run away. That's like a dog coming back to its vomit. He is called someone who is worshipping idols on purpose. He is driven out of the world to come. And he goes down to the lowest level of Gehenna. In other words, a person who sins and doesn't give up his life because he just doesn't want to die, even though he should have died, as we've discussed in the laws previously, he's done a wrong thing, but he's not punished. But if a person has an opportunity to run away and to get out of there, and he does not do so, then the Rambam says it's considered that he's doing it purposely, and he's on a very, very low level. Halacha hey, noshin shom lehem avdi kachavim, tnu lano achas michem, v'nit ma'osa. If there were a group of women, and some idolaters said, choose one, give us one of the women, and we will defile her. V'mlav nitamis kulchen. If not, we will defile all of you. Yitamu kulan. All of them should be defiled. V'alimasulam nevshach misrael. Rather than give away one Jewish soul. They have no right to pick one and give her away to them. They just can't do that. If the Gentiles by force defile them, that's just the way it is. But they cannot free themselves by yielding one Jew to the Gentiles. Similarly, if the idolater said to them, give us one of your numbers of people, and we will kill him. If not, we will kill all of you. Better let all of them be killed, rather than give one Jewish soul. If they choose one out, they specify, give us so-and-so, or else we'll kill all of you. If he was someone who was liable to the death penalty, as Sheva ben Bichri, he was a man who rebelled against David, and he went and sought refuge in a city, and David's general, Yoav, surrounded the city, and asked for Sheva, and at the end they yielded him, they killed him and yielded him. So if it's a case like that, Yidnu also lahem, they should yield up the man who was requested. But you don't teach this halacha openly in the first place. But it is in fact the halacha. If he's not liable to death, they just pick someone and they want to kill him. Better they should all be killed than yield one soul of Israel. In other words, you just don't yield the person. If the idolaters come in and the Jews are unable to save themselves and they get killed, well, that's the way it has to be. You cannot yield a Jew up to them. Halacha vav. K'inyan sham rabons and kacham rabacholoim. The same principle that they said about coercion to do a sin also applies to sickness. Ketzad. How so? Misha cholav not to lamuz. If someone was sick and close to death, the amru arofim shurfasu b'davar ploni misun shabatara. And the doctor said the way you can be cured is by doing a certain violation of the Torah. Also, you do that to save his life. The Sraphim, the Chalisun Shabbatorah, you can be cured with any of the prohibitions of the Torah. The Makam Sakam in a place of danger. Just like before, except with the three commandments of idolatry, or sexual immorality, or murder. Even in a place of danger, you do not cure yourself with that. The mother of the Nisrapa, Onshin also based in Onish Roilo. If he transgressed, and he did use a cure, one of these three things, he had to kill someone in order to be cured, or do one of the other two, he is punished by the Beis Din with a fitting punishment. If he's coerced and forced to kill, or to commit sexual immorality, or to worship idols, we don't punish him. Here he wasn't really being forced. He did want to save his life, so he did it, but he wasn't actually being forced by anyone, and therefore he is punished. How do we know this fact, that even in a place of danger to life, you do not transgress one of these three sins? As the Torah says, you should love Hashem your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole might. From the word with your whole soul, even if he takes your life. So that's referring to idolatry. The love of Hashem has to be so great that you're willing to give up your life for Him. Rigas nefesh miyisrael, refuas nefesh acheres, ol hatzal adam miyad anos, davar shadas not alahu, shem avde nefesh b'nei nefesh. Killing another Jew to save yourself, or to save yourself from a person forcing you, who will kill you otherwise, well, that we can logically understand. How can we take one life and destroy it for another life? Who are we to judge life? And the individual who is asked to kill someone has no right to take the other person's life. Who says that person's life is less worthy than his own? Therefore, he can't do it. And the laws of sexual immorality are compared to the laws of taking life. As it says, the Torah uses this pasuk in describing a man who coerces a woman to have a forbidden relationship with him. It says there that she's not responsible, because this is like murder, like a man who stands up against his friend and murders him. So is this matter. So we see that it's comparable in its laws to murder. When do we say this rule? That you do not use for a cure. Forbidden things, except if there's danger to life. There's manchin derech anasim, if you're using them in the usual way which you benefit from them. Kedon shemachil masachol, shkatzim, ramashim, mochamitz of Pesach, or shemachil anasim b'yom kippurim. For example, if you feed the sick person shkatzim and ramashim, creeping creatures that are not kosher, or chametz on Pesach, or you give them food on Yom Kippur, so that's not allowed unless there's danger to life. Avoshlo derech anasim, but if it's in a manner not in their usual way of having pleasure, kigon shalson lo retia, omelugma, mechametz, omiyarla, you make him a kind of poultice of chametz or arla, that's the forbidden fruit, the first 3 years of its of the planting of the tree, you're not allowed to have the fruit. Osher, maskit also, or you give him to drink, dvarim sheshba mar mu'ura v'misura meichel, that has something bitter mixed with the forbidden food. Sherein v'nana l'chayach, there is no pleasure for the palate. This is permitted even if there's no danger, since you're not really benefiting it from it in the normal way. Aside from the forbidden mixtures of plants and seeds and vines and grapes, or meat and milk cooked together, that are forbidden even if you're not having benefit from them the usual way. Therefore, these two things, you cannot use them as a cure, even if you're doing it not in the usual way, unless there is danger to life, in which case, of course, you can do it. And the Kesef Mishnah points out that the Rambam allows the use of chametz as a poultice, if it's since you're not eating it and having direct benefit from it. There is, however, a prohibition of owning or possessing chametz. Therefore, he explains that it's talking about a case where the chametz belongs to a non-Jew, and therefore you're not violating the possession of chametz. Halacha tes, mishnas in a beisha v'chol avinat alamuz, if someone is attracted to a woman and he becomes sick for her and he's dying, v'amra rofim, and the doctors say, eino refuat shetibalo, there is no cure for him unless she has sexual relations with him, yamus, let him die, v'tivalo, she should not have relations with him, afilayis apnuya, even if she's not married. Even to speak with her from behind the fence. In Marin Lo Bekach, we don't tell him to do that. The Yamus, better he should die. We shouldn't tell him to speak with her after the from behind the fence. Not to make the daughters of Israel like ownerless. Anyone can do what they want with them by saying and claiming that they have to talk to her and do this or that with her to save their lives. And through this, ultimately, they'll come to break down the barriers of the laws of sexual conduct. Kesef Mishnah points out that, of course, he would be allowed to marry her. But he brings down the Gemara that says that it's talking about a case where he doesn't want to marry her. He'll be cured only if it's done in a prohibited sort of way. And therefore, we do not allow this, even if it means he'll die. Halacha yud, kala over midai to blaonis, halachas v'kol mitzvah samuris betara, b'shat b'nefesh, lahachis, anyone who transgresses, without being coerced, any of the commandments of the Torah, just wantonly, in order to make God angry, that in itself is a desecration of the name of God. Any wanton violation. Before it says by a false oath, you are desecrating the name of God, says Hashem. If he transgressed in the front of 10 Jews, he has publicly desecrated the name of Hashem. Similarly, we have the opposite. If someone turns aside from sinning or does a mitzvah, not because of anything in the world, not because he's afraid, not that he's looking for honor, and because of Hashem, like for example when Yosef HaTzadik restrained himself from having a relation with the wife of Potiphar, his master, that is a sanctification of God's name. So to wantonly violate is a desecration. To keep yourself from violating or to do a mitzvah just because you want to serve Hashem is in itself a sanctification. There are other things that are included as a chilul Hashem, which aren't necessarily a sin, and it's still a chilul Hashem. In other words, they're not intrinsically a sin, but it's still a chilul Hashem, for example. If if a person who is great in Torah and known in piety does something that people talk about and think that it isn't good, even though they're not sins per se, behold, he has desecrated the name of Hashem. Kigon, for example, he buys something and he doesn't pay for it immediately. So people will say he's not going to pay. This is if he has money and the sellers are asking him for it and he's saying no, he'll pay them later. People will say, look, he's putting off the payment. Or he fools around a lot, eats and drinks a lot among ignorant people. He doesn't speak gently with people. He doesn't receive them pleasantly. He's arguing and angry. Similar things. It all depends on the greatness of the sage. He has to be careful with himself. The greater he is, the more careful he has to be. The Aslaf Nimishu Sedini should go beyond the letter of the law. Now we have the opposite, the Kiddush Hashem. If the wise man was very careful with himself, he spoke gently with the creatures. The Daitim Revisi Mind, his mind was got along well with them. He receives them pleasantly. The Nel of Manvin and Olvam, he will receive insults but not return them. He gives honor to even those who dishonor him. He does business very honestly. He doesn't spend a lot of time in the ways and in the sitting places of the ignorant. He's only seen all of the time learning Torah with his tzitzis on, with his tefillin on. He does in all of his ways beyond the letter of the law. Provided that he doesn't get too far away from things and become sort of out of the world altogether, withdrawn altogether. But he's in the world, and yet he's on a very high spiritual level. So everyone praises him and loves him, and would like to learn from his actions. Such a person has sanctified the name of God. Well, of course, concerning him, the Pasuk says, Yomali, Hashem said to me, Avdiata, you are my servant. Israel, Asher b'chayes po'er. Israel, in whom I praise myself. God is glorified, in whom I become glorified, through such a person who makes a Kiddush Hashem.